you in the 06010.
Hello and welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It is Tuesday.
I had to think about that one
for a second. Yeah. It is Tuesday, September 6th. Yep. It is football week. Today's podcast presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you can save. My name is Daniel. I'm here with Field and Mike. Hey. Guys, football actually is here. Real meaningful football. I'm so excited. I want to start the show. But also, we just had the only long weekend that we are basically going to have until Thanksgiving. I just want to ask, did you get some time away? Did you get a chance to recuperate? Were you able to breathe a little bit, Field?
We were. Yeah, it was great. We went and my wife, Chapin, has a friend who just celebrated a big birthday, for the big 3-0. So we had a night back in Massachusetts, where we're from. And then we got some great time with friends locally and super thankful. It's been, you know, this is going to make me a little emotional thinking about it. It's been an unbelievably great offseason, if you want to call this the start of the NFL season for us. Our daughter was born in the divisional round of the playoffs. The most meaningful 6 months, 7 months of my life to spend almost every second of every day with her. Mm-hmm. Couldn't be more excited for football. And I'm excited for my daughter to experience this journey, even if she has absolutely no idea what's going on. But I'm so grateful for it.
Mike, as a girl dad, what does Field have to look forward to as far as teaching his daughter football?
That's tough because they still don't fully grasp what I do for a job. Yeah. And like, I'm not sure if they like
football.
I don't
fully grasp what you do for a job, for the record.
That's fair.
Manage a fake football team?
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're like, they'll watch with me a little bit and they recognize some teams and stuff like that. But they're still very confused.
But they're very good pickers of games, right?
And teams. Yes. I mean, they do our projections, so they're very good. You know, to them, it's just a job. For me, it's, you know, it's a hobby. I just sit back and relax.
I just have a good time with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike and I this morning were talking about the tweet last night that like belongs in the Hall of Fame. It's very relevant to everybody who has listened to this podcast. Let me pull it up just because I want to make sure that I give the proper credit and B, I read it properly because it's better when you actually do so. But last night absolutely had me rolling. This tweet came from Rachel, who goes by @femaleredhead on Twitter. At 5:13 p.m., so if you want to go check the timestamp on it. Oh, your boyfriend's a doctor? Well, my boyfriend is now the coach of an imaginary football team for the next 4 months. That was how I felt about waking up this morning, right? Like, Feeling good. So true. You know, like,
what a great day.
So good.
All that work we did all offseason now pays off. I mean, this is our job now.
That's right.
This is our job for the 4 months. Get that team to a championship.
But just it's just a great, like, such a good tweet right there. Rachel, respect.
Yes. Well done. Yes. By the way, I wanted to mention to you guys, I almost didn't make it to the pod.
What happened?
I got to the gate today and flashed my ID, and it didn't work. And I was like, and he started typing and was looking into it. He's like, something about a Joe Burrow stat. Like,
Wow.
Like, you can't come in, sir.
So All wrong.
I had to go meet with HR and stuff and get this cleared up. And they were like, all right, we'll give you one more try.
Okay. So Mike Clay, officially down to his final strike.
Yeah, yes. Down to my final strike. So thank you for that, by the way. Thanks for throwing me under the bus.
No
barely
problem.
Made it, though.
How was
here. Yeah. I was very, very up and, you know, I worked really hard on my note to make sure there's no mistakes today. Double checked, triple checked all the stats.
I'll be the judge of that.
I think we're good.
We got a lot of stuff on the show today. We have post-draft strategy in case you've already drafted. We're going to talk about stash or pass, a new segment that we have. Eric Moody is going to join us a little bit later to talk about waiver wire week one. How should you approach it? As well as a quick interview with international recording superstar Luke Combs at end of the podcast.
Hold on now. Luke Combs?
Luke Combs.
Like international superstars you just described, or one of my favorite country musicians in the world?
Yeah, Luke Combs? I got a chance to chat with him a little bit earlier.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must have been awesome.
It was pretty great. Make sure you stick around.
He's obsessed with football.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Great. He's got some bangers out there right now, too.
We're going to talk about it at the end of the show. Real quick, we have some housekeeping, as Field always used to put it.
Yeah.
Focus a schedule for this year. We are going to move to 10 a.m. Eastern time, starting Monday, September 12th.
Ooh.
10 a.m. will be the live show. Not 11 a.m. like we've been doing.
Yep.
10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Guests will be joining us on a regular basis. We're going to have Liz Loza, Eric Moody, and a whole bunch, a big cavalcade of others.
Yeah.
We also
Adam Schefter.
Adam Schefter is going to be a part of it.
Yep. That'd be great. Schefty, who's going to bring not just his great insider knowledge, but also he's obsessed with fantasy sports.
So much
in a way football. That... Like, he and Kyle spend all off season grinding through basketball and baseball and golf and yeah. NASCAR. Like, the two of them are two peas in a pod talking about fantasy. It's delightful to watch. I'm glad I'm not a part of it because that would be a lot of anxiety every single day.
Every day. They do a little too much for me, which is why having Adam come on, he can just give us, well, you know, we don't have to dive all the way in. Adam, give us all that info. We also have the CSS DFS podcast returning, Mike Clay.
Let's go. Couple days away. You're not part of it.
I don't know why you just high-fived him. Why did you high-five Field?
Yeah, I thought he was out for a
second. Didn't you see that GIF where you're supposed to... Oh, wow, that was so good. But yeah, every Thursday, CSS DFS coming back. Me, Mike, and Al Zeidenfeld. We're going to be doing a daily fantasy football show in case you like to play DFS. Specifically, we talk DraftKings prices. It is a ton of fun, so keep an eye out for that. Also, last update. Friday shows. I will not be here. Friday shows are going to be Field Yates, Mike Clay, and Stefania Bell all season long as I am doing Monday night tailgate. They're giving me the day off on Friday as I'm doing helping out with our Monday Night Football product.
Awesome.
Which is going to be super fun. I got Scooby and I got Jason Fitz to be able to do Monday Night Tailgate with. So make sure you check that out on YouTube. It's going to be a lot of fun. So much fantasy content, so much stuff coming on. We'll tell you guys more about it.
Is that like a contract thing? Like I'm working Monday, so I can't work Friday. I need a 3-day weekend. That's
the
my
fantasy
deal.
Focus
like,
union is strong.
Weekend. Yeah. You're like, you gotta have that. Like, that's contract. I can't work Monday and Friday. Like, I need to, need to party. So,
All right. Well, you know what, Mike? I think I finally started to realize that with all the work that you do around here, I can just also say I'm doing a lot of work as well.
Well, so I mean, I'll be working all of those days. So I'm just saying.
Sure. That's fair.
Wow. You know, you do what you got to do.
Let's talk about
too many Miller Lights for this guy.
Seriously,
this weekend. I had some delightful Miller Lights over the weekend. Just for the record,
Field sent some pictures. I sent
them.
You did.
They go. They just taste better.
Smooth
with day. Every single day that goes by, they taste better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have one while you're drafting? Do they help you draft better?
I didn't draft this weekend.
Okay.
No draft this weekend. I have three coming up tonight and tomorrow. So.
All right. Well, I cleared the deck. Left in your fridge.
Endless supply.
All right. You're ready to go?
Let's go. Let's talk some news. Let's do it.
If you have three drafts this weekend, Field, I'm curious. I'm going to start there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are.
Chris Godwin has started trending upwards. Look like we're seeing good things from Chris Godwin. Still wide receiver 25. But if you're drafting right now, or if you're looking at week one, how are you approaching Chris Godwin this week?
So let's start with the draft part of it. Because I think this is just like one more log on the fire that you can feel confident that even if it's not in week one, that early in the season, there's a chance that Chris Godwin comes close to being the player he was in the past, which is why if that's the case, wide receiver 25 will make him perhaps the greatest discount in all of drafts this year.
Yep.
For week one specifically, and we'll talk more about rankings throughout the week, I kind of split the atom because on the one hand, there's a chance that Chris Godwin is on a pitch count, and Todd Bowles, their head coach, actually used that word describing Julio Jones recently, but made a reference to all the receivers. So it could be that Chris Godwin plays a more limited role in week one. It's hard to interpret exactly what a more limited role means. So rather than having him as wide receiver 8, where I might if he were fully healthy, or wide receiver 28, where I would have him if I knew he was playing only 50% of the snaps, I have him sort of in between. I think I have him at wide receiver 16 for right now in week one in a matchup against the Cowboys that I'm okay with. Mike, any thoughts there?
I'm close to that. I'm a little bit lower for the same reasons, though, right? And let me just say this. You just alluded to it, right? You still have a few drafts left. Other people are drafting. Chris Godwin right now, probably the best value on the board. I mean, he is still going way too late. People are still nervous about this. And by all accounts, he should play, if not week one, maybe week two at the latest, right? He's going to play soon. You know, I had a couple friends drafting last night. It's that week where you're getting lots of texts. Like I'm on the, you know, which direction should I go? Shout out Chase Briscoe, NASCAR driver in the playoffs right now. Yeah. He was one of them. He tweeted about it. So I'm not like outing him that I was helping him or anything, but he was on the board and I was like, man, Godwin, got to get him. That's another buddy he was drafting. Right, Chris Godwin, right? It's just, you're getting him too late. He's basically your wide receiver 3 now. And when he's on the field within a week or two, he's going to be a wide receiver 1, right? So,
exactly.
Absolutely. Maybe the best value on the board right now.
Love Chris Godwin. All right. Yep. James Robinson is going to be active for week one. Obviously, Travis Etienne is the guy that all of us fantasy managers have been obsessing over here this offseason, Mike. But understanding we're going to talk more with James Robinson tomorrow with Stefania. Yep. Any pause with James Robinson? Because this is positive here. If it looks as though he is going to be active for week one, we've been waiting to see how quickly he's going to be able to get back on the field.
Yeah, I mean, it's been trending this way for a while, right? Like it seemed like even a month ago, he was on the path to being back for week one or week two, much like Chris Godwin. So That's been my, it has nothing really to do with Robinson. Like, he's kind of limited because Travis Etienne's there, but it's been my pause on Etienne, right? Like, where he's been drafted as early as like the third round, it was too rich for me because James Robinson is really good at football. And even if he starts slow, he's going to have some kind of role here. And as he gets healthier and healthier and healthier this season, he could end up seeing 12, 13, maybe 14 carries if they're leading in the game and the occasional target. And I think that just limits Etienne's ceiling a little bit. So if anything, it gives me more pause on Etienne. But as for Robinson, again, it's hard to see him getting close to RB1 value again with Etienne there.
I can't tell if he did says if he just said something unironically right there. Or not.
What?
You were like, yeah, the Jaguars, he could get like 12 or 13 carries if they're leading in the game. Was that a joke? Was that a pot shot or was that?
Depends on Trevor Lawrence, right?
Okay, so you're confident in them.
Well, they have a great schedule this season.
I know.
And second-year quarterbacks. I've been talking about Lawrence all offseason. Lottery ticket.
No, I'm just being funny because obviously the Jaguars have had a lot of losing in their recent history. here's my stance on this is that I have tried to keep track of how Doug Peterson has talked about James Robinson in week one specifically. And I've noted that while he has certainly left the door open to him playing in week one, I stand by the concept that week one is just the starting point for him, that his role by week eight may be much more stable and much more significant. And maybe it's by week four, by the way. Week one, I still have a pretty good level of confidence for Travis Etienne. And frankly, both of these guys are good enough players. I know we haven't seen Etienne on an NFL field during a regular season game that I almost hope that like it's just the Etienne show because I would hate for it to be a backfield that like neither guy yields more than like low-end flex value. But for now, I still have confidence in Etienne going into week one just because I do think there's a chance that a guy who's not even 9 months removed from an Achilles tear plays more like 25 or 30% of the snaps in week one as opposed to 50% of the snaps.
James Robinson is rostered in over 75% of leagues right now, going in the 13th round of drafts if you are still drafting, so still super late. From that standpoint, I think really good value for someone like we expect, still going to be a part of that backfield here.
The question, though, is like, does he become like what we think Melvin Gordon could be this year, which is gets, you know, 8 to 10 or 12 carries in a game, but limited passing game value. And you'd only be able to play him if he scores a rushing touchdown. Right. If he does, then for fantasy, that's kind of like that purgatory spot, but still a useful player to grab in the 13th round because the upside is greater than that. And if Travis Etienne gets hurt, we know how much upside there is.
Yeah, and this is the running back dead zone that we talk about sometimes, 100%. Right? It's just like when you're on the clock and you're looking for a running back, and this is what you're looking at, you're like, oh, there's just, it's insurance is the upside. Yep. Like that's it. Like, it. You just don't feel great starting these guys. You generally want to be attacking receiver in that vicinity or getting your tight end, or maybe that's when you go quarterback shopping. It's just not a good spot to take running backs. And Robinson, you know, his ADP has climbed a little bit from where it was earlier in the offseason when we thought he might start on PUP or IR or something like that, right? So, just not a great, you just don't feel great having him on your team except as insurance.
You mentioned fantasy purgatory field, and I feel like that's where the Steelers are at with their quarterback situation. Nothing against Mitchell Trubisky, but he's been named the captain. He's officially the starter atop the depth chart. We've asked this question, I think, last week. Not everyone listens to every show. That doesn't give me a ton of confidence with Mitchell Trubisky under center, but does that really change anything? Because we've sort of been planning on this from a fantasy perspective all offseason long.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been actually consistent with feeling like the Steelers quarterback downgrade this year might not be a downgrade. It might just be either neutral, maybe even a little bit better. So whether it was Mitch Trubisky or Kenny Pickett, I feel the same as I do about the Steelers wide receivers or as I did about them at the beginning of the offseason. I'm higher than most on Deontay Johnson this year. Not only did Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett both look pretty solid during the preseason, but the offense had some similar tenets. I referenced how our buddy Dan Orlovsky noted that like a lot of their offense in previous years with Big Ben was either passes thrown right at the line of scrimmage or passes thrown 20 yards down the field. Not a lot of in-between stuff. And that boded pretty well for Deontay Johnson, by the way. Seemed like a lot of that was prevalent this preseason as well. And that will be a good thing for Deontay Johnson. And I know that we talk about a million quarterbacks, but Mitch Trubisky he's an athletic enough guy, and I know things went as poorly as they possibly could in Chicago. But there was a year in which he made the Pro Bowl. There was a year in which he was really good. Like, as you're looking at all the quarterbacks that have a chance to average whatever number of points per week you deem sufficient to be your starting quarterback, Trubisky has a path there. And what it means? No, I'm just. You don't think he'd average in a perfect world like 18 fantasy points per game?
Man, I'm not with you guys on this one.
You don't like him?
No, not at all. I mean, you said you were like, with all due respect to Trubisky. I mean, as a person, yes, but as a player, I mean, he has not been good. I mean, everyone could not wait. This is what always happens, right? Everyone could not wait to get him, bench him. He's so bad in Chicago.
Yeah.
He gets a backup job, right? He's just a backup. He barely plays last season. Fine, that's where he essentially belongs. And now it's like. Now there's optimism, essentially. Like, yeah, I don't get it.
Because coming out of Ben, isn't that there optimism because of that?
So what
I think
the,
so.
Here's the end of my optimism. Here's like the where my optimism was. Like, I feel the same about the receivers. I feel good enough about Trubisky and eventually Kenny Pickett that the receivers are fine. Mm-hmm. But specific to Trubisky, what I wasn't going to say that he needs to be drafted in 10 or 12 or 14 team leagues. It's yet another testament to the idea that if you wait a long time on quarterback, you are not going to be burned, because there might be a handful of guys that never crack our top 10 or 12 or 14 in a week that are still capable of getting 15 to 18 or 20 fantasy points in a given week. I think I like Trubisky a little bit more than you as a player. I'm buying into the revitalization. He obviously got rehabbed last year in Buffalo, and maybe I'm too much of a sucker for the Steelers cologne, but that part has me drawn in a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
That's the only thing that gives me pause is betting against Mike Tomlin, essentially, right? Because he is just such a good coach. And they do have the skill, guys, to your defense. The offensive line is not good. And I looked closer at Trubisky, kind of his career, just to look at his rate stats and just try to get a... I wanted some optimism, right? I wanted to say what you did, and I just didn't see it. He can add a little with his legs, but he just has not been a good enough thrower. It bothers me, but I agree. I mean, they were near the basement in scoring last year and passing efficiency. It can't get much worse than it was last year. But man, I don't know. Not Trubisky though. No thanks. Even in super flex, he's a backup.
Any chance? And I know this is what our audience craves. We get a board bet on Mitch Trubisky.
I don't know what my argument is.
QB 25 or something. Yeah,
my point was just that there are always more quarterbacks that can give you what you need
something
in a starting role on a short-term basis. Like, there are always enough, right? That if you decide to go very late on quarterback and the player that you take very late doesn't work out, there are probably going to be alternatives. I don't have Mitch Trubisky in any leagues. I don't plan on drafting him in any leagues. I'm just saying there's a world that exists that it's week 8 and bye weeks are upon us and you play in a 14-team league and Trubisky is available and you're like, I'm not necessarily totally confident in it, but I think he's not going to be the reason why I lose this upcoming week as well.
So Trubisky or Brady? What do you got?
Depends. PPR or no?
Half PPR.
Half PPR? All right, Brady by a hair.
Okay, got
half
it.
Half PPR only.
All right, got it.
All right, let's talk. We just had the biggest draft weekend of the year.
I had zero. So.
That's right. Mm. Yeah.
Too busy grinding the tape.
Oh, you were waiting for so long. I had 5 drafts this weekend. Mike, I don't know how many you had yet.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, some of us had to be busy.
I was doing work. I was doing week one work, writing receiver
corner.
So was
corner. I wrote an article, too. I had week one rankings I had to do. All of us had week one rankings.
You said you were relaxing and working with your agent on getting Fridays off and all this stuff.
All right, Miller, Mike, how about you come at me with all that? All right, so you finished your draft, though. In all honesty, we just got done doing our draft. Mm-hmm. And now we've got 4 days until we get to Thursday night football. Yep. And you know what I do? I sit there and I look at my team and I'm like, love that pick. Love that pick. Love these guys.
Yep.
And then I get to a couple people maybe towards the end and I'm like, should I start tinkering? Should I look at waivers? Should I go to waivers even before the games have even been played? Because I'm not sure that I love that pick towards the end of the draft. And I want to hear from both of you. Field, I want to start with you.
Yeah.
Once you get done post-draft, how is it that you assess your team? And what do you do moving forward without getting caught captive in, I want to make changes already?
A few things. It depends on when your draft was. If your draft was a month ago, a lot could have changed.
That's
right.
That's fair.
If you did a draft this weekend, it's pretty likely that most of the late round lottery tickets that were taken at the time are players that deserve to be late round lottery tickets. But if you play in a keeper league, if you play in a dynasty league, if you drafted a month ago, here's what I would do. Just go take a look at the available players right now. We play in a dynasty league and our waiver run will take place tonight into tomorrow. There's no superstars on that league, but what I might need on my roster might not jive with what you or Mike needs. So there might be a guy that I add for the end of my bench. So always take a look at the available players. And the other thing that I always do is when I'm drafting, I always remind, I don't look super closely at week one defensive opponents. But that's the spot that I'll end up making the most changes this week is there was a draft. I took the Cowboys as my defense. I didn't like pay a premium on them, but at the end of the draft, I took the Cowboys in round 16. You know what? I don't love the idea of facing Tom Brady in week one. And so I have to make a decision. Do I stream whoever it is that I end up grabbing to replace the Cowboys, or do I just drop the Cowboys? In most cases, to be honest with you, I'm going to drop the Cowboys or my defense, unless I somehow grab the best defense in fantasy football, in my opinion, but they have a bad week. Like if I love the Rams this year, but I don't love facing the Bills, I might roster too. But those are a couple things that come to mind is just always check the available players, and I'm okay with tinkering with defense.
Mm-hmm. Mike, do you have any thoughts on that too?
You know, I think Field said it well. You know, at this point, you kind of made your bed during the draft, right? So your starting lineup is pretty much set, right? You're not going to go overboard with changing things. There's probably no major injuries if you've drafted within the last few weeks. So again, the guys you drafted, you know, if you took Allen Robinson, you're starting Allen Robinson, right? Just put the guys in your lineup and run out week one. The big thing, of course, is streaming, right? Defense is, like you said, a lot of my teams, once I'm done, I'll like drop the kicker and pick up an insurance running back or something like that. Obviously, don't forget to pick up your kicker, your defense, whatever you need to. Make sure the lineup's set. But again, week one's pretty straightforward. You drafted a team. Your starting lineup was pretty much set when you were done. Put those guys in your lineup, and it's all systems go.
Go ahead, Field.
Oh, no. Last thought. When you go first, I'll share my last thought.
I appreciate you. The idea of you get into a league, one of the first things that I do, as soon as the draft is over, I take the player that I drafted that is likely on IR somewhere within my draft, and I make sure I immediately slide him into the IR slot because I now have a free spot. I can pick someone up with waivers. Don't need to drop someone. But if you drafted someone specifically because you know your league uses an IR spot, make sure that you do that as quickly as possible so you can fill it.
Mm-hmm. Field. Last thought here is I'm not sure why sometimes I get trade offers or make trade offers before the season begins. But why not? If you want to make a trade before the season begins, go for it. We talk about this game and we give you ideas and data points and advice to help you win. Fantasy football certainly is great when you win, but it's a lot of fun too. So if someone wants to throw you a wonky trade offer in week one and you want to think about it, that's okay. I probably won't make too many trades before the season begins. I felt better about a player than I did a different player for a reason when I drafted them, but it's fun, guys. Like, we're going to make this season on Fantasy Focus is going to be about having a blast. And part of the fun in fantasy is that you get to be a GM for a season.
Yeah.
And go for it. If you want to get weird, have at it.
And by the way, if you draft the right way, sometimes your teams are going to be heavy toward one position, and that's an opportunity to take advantage of someone else who messed up during their draft and was reaching, right? Hey. An example could be if the running backs are just flying off the board and you're like, man.
RB dead zone you just talked about, right?
Exactly. Like, I'm not taking Antonio Gibson over like Michael Pittman just to make sure I have a running back, right? Yeah. Like, if you just keep attacking value and you're like, all right, I'm throwing RB2 away, not worrying about it. I'm not going to reach on this dead zone. I'm going to keep taking good receivers. You might have a really good receiver on your bench that you could try to flip then for a running back for a team that's in the opposite situation that was reaching, and suddenly you have a big edge. So always be evaluating your roster. That applies every single week of the season, right? So always be evaluating your roster, and there's always windows to make trades like that.
And that, with what you're talking about, that doesn't have to be a trade that has to be made here in the preseason. It doesn't have to be made week one. Yeah. If someone is not interested in trading you, a manager that drafted three quarterbacks and you notice that they've only got three running backs on their team, right? Don't panic and like force a trade early in order to be able to make sure you're working something. Let them realize how bad their team is in 2 or 3 weeks, and you can go from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. All right, this segment is brought to you by Snickers. Avoid a rookie mistake and eat a Snickers. A rookie would blindly start the player with the highest scoring projections. And sometimes that's the right play, Mike, as our projection expert, but not always the right play.
What?
Well, it just isn't, if we're being honest. Doing so blindly is not always a great decision. So when you're looking at projections and you're trying to decide who you want to start, what is it that you're looking at, Mike? If you're someone new to fantasy, if you're someone that is just getting into fantasy, maybe this is your first year, all I'm seeing is a number, and I'm just putting the highest number in my lineup. What else should I do? Should I click on the player's name? Should I read a little bit about the player?
Well, I mean, what are those variables you'd be looking at? Defensive matchups?
Probably.
That's considered in the projected points.
Is it?
Yeah. Opponent. Okay. Yeah. That's all covered.
Weather,
usage, volume, weather. That's all in the projection.
Everything is baked into the projections.
I don't know. Like, am I supposed to play along with this? Cause it's the sponsor, but I mean, look, I do the projected points. This is a weird spot to put me in. Yeah. You want me to say not to trust my projected points? Is
no,
that what you're doing?
Okay. Let me take it from
you. Is that what you're doing here?
I don't think that's what I was saying.
Obviously I don't. I do my own projections and I have Tom Brady slightly ahead of Mitch Trubisky in a half PPR league. So let me take this from
here. Just for getting thrown under the bus here.
All right. So to be clear, Mike does the projections at ESPN and all the factors that you're discussing are considered there, but there are people that don't pay attention to those things every single day of the week like mm-hmm. we do. I always use my brother as the comparison that I make here. My brother is an amazing guy who likes football, doesn't live for it like we do, but he's a busy worker. He's got two kids. His wife works as well. Like, there's just not a lot of expendable time during his week. So sometimes on Sunday mornings, he'll text me or call me up and say, hey, I'm choosing between these two guys. What do you think? And he may not realize that it's going to be 4 degrees and snowing and there's going to be 9 inches of snow on the ground in Cleveland when the game begins. Mm-hmm. He also may not realize that you have already factored that into your discussion. So really, when you're making lineup decisions, typically you're looking for confirmation. You're just looking for someone to tell you what you are already leaning towards. So my general piece of advice, there's just a couple of things that come to mind for me. One, it's your team, so you should always go with your own gut. Even if you ask someone for confirmation and they don't give and they don't give it to you, like, go with what your gut was in the first place. Let me start there, okay? Second of all, our job is not really to separate between DK Metcalf and Terry McLaurin. They're both fantastic. Mm-hmm. They got basically the exact same amount of money this year, which is reflective of the fact that the league views them as very comparable players. Terry McLaurin and DK Metcalf are both awesome bets to be in the top 10 in receiving yards this year or top 10 in receiving touchdowns. They're all pro-level players. That's not our job. I mean, it is our job, but that's the hardest part of our job. Because if I'm watching DK Metcalf's projection and it's 0.6 ahead of Terry McLaurin's projection, it tells you that we think of them as basically the same way. A lot of what we can do is help decide between multi-position questions, running back versus wide receiver, and then also factoring in things that you may not be aware of because you're not eating, sleeping, and breathing fantasy football like we do. So other things to keep in mind for your flex specifically, and this is not a rule that applies every single time, but if I've got a strong wide receiver option in my flex and a strong running back option in my flex, I personally, in the PPR league, do tend to think first about the wide receiver only because their pathway to 15 or so fantasy points is a little clearer than a running back, even if the projections are similar, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's just say Javonte Williams and Deontay Johnson are both projected for 17 fantasy points in week one. Well, Deontay Johnson could easily have 8 catches in week one, right? So that's almost half of the points right there, where Javonte Williams could have just 2 catches in week one, and he'd still need maybe 100 rushing yards or 65 rushing yards and a touchdown to get to the number that we are deciding. It does not apply in every case, but I tend to initially lean towards the wide receiver when it's a wide receiver or a running back.
Totally agree.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And obviously that was tongue in cheek at the beginning. Like, I do the projected points, so naturally I have to defend them, right? You could get away with just following those. I mean, if you don't have time to look into it, I would say Sunday mornings, right around noon, is when we get the post inactives update in. That's when I kind of put it through. I'll be doing that during Fantasy Football Now this year. Yep. So then you can feel good, kind of setting your lineup. That should all be adjusted. So worst case scenario, you could do that. But again, I'm using the same projections for my lineups, and occasionally it is like 11.2 versus 11.0. And I sit there and stare at it for a little bit and consider other things. An example might be, let's just say Tyler Lockett or Rashad Bateman, right? Say the projection's off by 2 points or 0.2 points or something. And Lockett's a little ahead, but he's playing a decent defense like Cincinnati. Say Bateman gets the Chiefs. And I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe they just have to throw so much. Bateman has a higher ceiling, and that might separate it for me, right? So yeah, you can, if they're close, there's a margin of error. Go with your gut, to your point, have some fun. And worst case scenario, you could use the points. But you're right, by the way. I just want to throw that out there. You know, I get that question a lot. I really want to take this guy, but you have this guy ranked higher, and I kind of just want to go that way. I don't want to like kick myself later. You're going to kick yourself more if the guy your gut said to pick works out and you didn't take him, right? Mm-hmm. So again, when they're that close in that tier, if you want to take your guy, take your guy. It's way more fun that way.
I agree with that. Okay. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
You put me on edge there for a second, though, with the way I felt like you were coming at me for a minute.
I thought with the way the segment was set up, I was like, I have to play my part, right?
No, because in part because, and I've asked you this, but like, just as a friend, you do the projections, but your projections aren't just your rankings. Like sometimes your rankings are a little bit different than the way the projections work out. So there's obviously some sort of reason why there are tweaks or nuances to the way you're choosing specific things.
Yeah, very close. I think really quickly, an example of that is like week one, our projected points of Jalen Hurts number one. And I thought about it for a little bit. I ended up leaving him number one in our rankings because I think it adds up. But I did a little extra digging on that. Should I just go with Allen? Yeah. Should I just go with Mahomes? You know, Herbert even, 1, 2, 3, and then Hurts. But I mean, love the matchup, so I left him there. But, you know, I still think through that stuff, even if the projections are a little off from expectations.
We need like a mayoral bet between the two of you. You know how like when like two teams play in the MLB playoffs and the mayors make a bet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get a key to Mike's pool if I win.
Detroit, Philadelphia bet this week. Let's move on to the art of the key, trade, though, because I know we're already getting behind the outline a little bit here, Daniel.
Take it.
Well, so I just mentioned how, like, before the season begins, trades are fun. But let's talk through some general advice of how to go about making a trade work. Mike, I'll start with you. Is there an initial rule that you follow when you are contemplating a trade?
Yeah, there's a couple things. I wrote this in my preseason playbook a couple months ago, too. I wrote a lot about trading and a lot of thoughts. But in a nutshell, you get three key things here. Okay. The first one, the most important one, and the famous words of Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X, relax. Okay. All right. It's a trade offer. Okay. People just get so mad at trade offers. Yeah. They just lose their mind. It's like people in traffic, right? Like road rage, but with trade rage, right? Put yourself, and this is basically rule number two, put yourself in the shoes of the other person, right? Now, look, if they offer you their kicker for Javonte Williams, okay, way off the reservation. But almost always when people are getting mad, you could at least look at it and say, I kind of see what they're going for here, right? And again, the same thing applies to making offers, right? If you don't want to get people angry, put yourself in their shoes, see if it kind of adds up on their side. If they're loaded at receiver and you're loaded at receiver, it doesn't make sense to offer them a receiver if they're short a running back and you need a running back, right? You have to look at their team, put yourself in their shoes, and imagine, would you take the offer if you were on their side? And the other part...
Before you go to three, I want to ask you about that because I don't want you to forget it. Do you send back a note to a team and it's like, hey, I'm not doing this because so they can understand?
Okay, this is part three, so I'll just go right to that, which is always respond. Like, always respond. Just decline it. You can counter if you want. You can reply and say, look, I'm just not interested. This isn't even close to me. Or if they offer you a kicker for Javonte Williams, you could say you're out of the league, right? Or never offer me a deal again, right? If it's that far off the reservation. But you don't have to get so angry and be posted on message boards and screenshot it. Like, that drives me up a wall. Like, because I'm, you know, I like to throw offers out, right? I like to keep leagues interesting, especially ones that don't have a lot of action. And not every single one are going to be perfect, right? First of all, they're going to lean towards me because that's how you start a negotiation, right? I'm not going to make it crazy one-sided, but it's going to lean my direction. That's the whole point, right? And then you counter and you kind of meet in the middle and you go from there. But, you know, it's a fun part of the league. It's supposed to be a fun part to keep a league active. And I love getting offers. There's nothing better than trade offer, right? I love seeing that. The only thing better is trade accepted, right? Yeah. But so love it. Keep your leagues active. Try not to get so angry about offers. So
I agree with that. Yeah, I'll be real quick because I have two as well. One of them, and it's to Mike's point, I always reply, this is a dance. This is a conversation. Everything about this is a back and forth. It's not you send one trade offer and then you never hear from that person again. I want to let the other manager know, hey, I have an excess of running backs and I can tell that you need one and I need a wide receiver. So here's why I think it makes sense for both of our teams. I want to lay out in words so that they can read why it makes sense for their team. And if they disagree, then they can come back. But I always do the same thing. I always try. It's a relationship. You're trying to make sure that we're on the same page. The second thing, Field, I feel so strongly about this. I'm just 95% of the time, the 1 for 3s, the 1 for 4s, the 2 for 5s, just not interested. Not interested. I don't send those offers. When people send me offers back, I don't do it. I don't like those deals. Yeah. 1 for 1, 2 for 2, it makes sense. But once you start loading up and it's like one guy for this half of your bench, I'm out.
And you're not trading a dollar for 4 quarters. So there are two things that I wanted to add here is that what you talked about, both of you referenced, kind of like trades that are motivated by need. I'm short on running backs, deep on wide receivers. You are short on receivers, deep on running backs. Those tend to be deals where both sides can justify them at the time that the deal is consummated. A different kind of trade that I love And it leads to sometimes some very passionate back and forth negotiations and sometimes draws some oohs and ahs from the league and sometimes does leave one team feeling sort of jilted 6 or 8 or 10 weeks later. Are deals where I offer you my Javonte Williams and Keenan Allen for your Najee Harris and Mike Evans. We're just shuffling the deck, right? I mean, I think we all kind of value Najee Harris a little bit more than Javonte Williams, but they're pretty similar, right? We both think Mike Evans and Keenan Allen are pretty similar as well, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, those are deals that they don't do much other than spark some conversation, but there's a place for those in fantasy as well. Never get Mike mentioned, like, don't take anything personally. I do like those deals on occasion. You know why? Because it's a way to spice things up, to generate some discussion, and I'm just telling you, there's nothing better. Fantasy football, we love to win. All right, I want to win every single league that I'm playing in this year. But you know what I love too? Is that I've got all these various circles in my life that are accounted for, right? Daniel and I are in our league together. It's a bunch of friends of ours from Michigan. Mostly Daniel's friends. But still, my buddies from the Holmes Brewery as well. And we're having fun. We're just talking about nothing and everything in between, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a trade that really is basically my 6 for your half dozen accomplishes nothing for either one of our teams, but it's a lot of fun. So don't be afraid to make those as well. Just last thing I'll say on trades is, and hopefully we can get agreement here. If you're the commissioner, I think there's a place for vetoing in trades. Like if something is just completely ridiculous, it does nothing. All it does is it makes one person look bad, one person gets an edge, and the rest of the league gets mad.
Yeah. No vetoing in my leagues. The trades just go right through. If someone is colluding, they're just removed from the league. If you're going to go that far and collude, the trade gets vetoed, you get removed from the league. It's that simple. If it goes that far, it's that extreme.
So we're saying the same thing, just different.
Exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, you let them all go through. Votes, again, don't like the votes. If two people want to make a trade,
it takes too much time.
If they make the trade.
Yeah, 6-4, like that's a fine trade. If it's 9-1, then it's like, yeah, clearly something's wrong. If the only person voting for it is the guy that gets Tom Brady for Cairo Santos, like there's probably a reason why the 9 voted against it.
Wow.
Tyra Santos is like, geez, I'm catching shrapnel in the fantasy focus.
I'm going to make that offer in some leagues.
All right, we're going to pay some bills before we come back with a few more segments. First, Mike, tell us our good friends about Geico.
We'll do. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add easy-to-use mobile app. Available 24-hour roadside assistance and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Let me tell you a little something about hiring. It's tough, especially right now when you have so much on your plate. Luckily, there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. You can easily review these recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. No wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated hiring site based on G2 satisfaction ratings as of January 1st, 2022. And right now to try ZipRecruiter for free, our listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. That's ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Three wood? What do you think I am? Mike Clay? Give me the big stick. You see, Mike, whether you're playing golf or fantasy football, you gotta take risks, like Travis Kelce in the first or Allen Robinson in the fourth. That's how you win, my friend. I'll see you on the gridiron.
Wow. Tyler bringing the heat.
From Fulton.
Off the top rope.
That was good. That was so sharp. Well, high right quality there. Video. He went all in on that.
Really good. I want to play golf with Fulton sometime.
We'll see. If only he was good at picking players as he is on the golf course.
Wow.
Maybe we wouldn't be having this conversation. I'm just saying.
Who is good at picking players right now? We're going to have our good friend Eric Moody join us. Eric Moody is super good at picking players. What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Hey. I'm doing pretty good. I was laughing at that video of Tyler, so it literally, I'm on my end laughing out loud as I'm watching it, so good stuff.
I love it. Eric, thank you so much for joining us. Before we get into everything, we're going to go through a couple of fun things here with you, but let people know where they can find you before we get into this. Eric Moody on Twitter, on Instagram, where you at?
Yeah, you can find me everywhere on social at Eric N. Moody. The N is actually stands for Nicholas, my middle name. Unfortunately, Eric Moody was taken, but you can find me everywhere at Eric N. Moody.
Eric N. Moody. Love it. All right. We're going to go through a handful of players here in a segment called Stash or Pass, whether or not you should keep a player or you should pass them for week one here on your lineup. And Eric, I'm going to start with you. We're going to go around the entire studio. But Dontrell Hilliard, right now the backup there to Derrick Henry in
Tennessee.
That was
Johnson City, Tennessee.
The Titans. That is wrong. Are you stashing or are you passing on having the insurance back there for Derrick Henry?
No, I would end up stashing him because if you look at the workload that Henry has had over the years, if something does happen to him where he misses time, you want to be able to take advantage of that.
Okay, not a problem there. Mike, I'm going to come to you. On Jamal Williams for DeAndre Swift behind him, DeAndre Swift has missed 7 games between the last 2 years combined. Are you stashing or passing on Jamal Williams for week one?
He's in my 192, so I think he's a stash, right? Yeah. He's a fine late round guy. My only concern is he kind of, he didn't play a lot in the down the stretch last season when Swift was out. He was kind of in that rotation with Godwin Igbinoghany. There we go. And
Craig Reynolds,
the guy from Kutztown, of course. You. So, but I think he was a little beat up, right? So I think this year, if Swift misses time, Williams will play a bigger role. So fine for the end of your bench.
All right, Field, here's another big one. J.D. McKissic feels like a very obvious stash with everything that's going on with Brian Robinson.
I don't see it that way. Okay. I would say stash only if you're playing in the deeper league. I think you can pass otherwise. I mean, even if Antonio Gibson gets hurt early in the season, I don't see J.D. McKissic taking on like a 20 carry per game role. He is very valuable as a pass catcher, but I would be passing here unless you play in like a 14 team or larger league.
A deeper league. All right. I like that. No problem. I disagree, but no problem. Eric, we're going to come back to you. Alexander Mattison, you drafted Dalvin Cook. Are you stashing or passing on Alexander Mattison?
Yeah, I think you have to stash Mattison. You know, if you look at his body of work in games where Cook has missed time, he has been superb. So again, why wouldn't you want to take advantage of that if that doomsday scenario happens?
Yeah, I feel like he needs to be rostered in every single league. There should be no time this year where Alexander Mattison is available on the waiver wire at all. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, Mike, Green Bay pass catchers. Now with Devontae Adams and everything that he had being gone there, you got Romeo Doubs, you've got Christian Watson, you've got the old guy in Sammy Watkins. Stashing or passing these Green Bay pass catchers?
Ooh, stashing some of them, right?
Yeah, there's one of them, right?
Yeah, Doubs is the main one right now just because he played so well in the offseason. Aaron Rodgers has talked about him. He should play a big role out of the gate. And by the way, Alan Lazard is questionable for week one, right? So if he doesn't play, that's going to give an opportunity for these other guys to play even more right out of the gate and soak up a larger target share. So Doubs is the main one. I'm also fine with Watson just because he's a day two rookie in a good offense.
34th overall pick.
Yeah, those are the top two guys. They traded a lot to move up to get him,
too.
They moved all the way up to the front of the second round. So I know missed a lot of offseason activities, but if you're the real deal, that won't matter, right? It'll get going at some point this season. Both of those guys fine for your bench.
All right, last one here. Rondale Moore, Field Jeets. Yeah. Obviously, Nuke is going to be out for the first 6 weeks of the season, and it looks like Zach Ertz and Hollywood Brown are the top two pass catchers there. You stashing or passing on Hollywood Moore?
Yeah, clear stash here for me with Rondale Moore. See, you just confused me.
I did it. That was
Hollywood Moore, and I called him Rondale Brown. Our brains are just, eesh.
That was awesome.
Wires got crossed there. Obvious stash. Okay, from the top here, Field, you can do it. It's only your job.
This isn't live.
Obvious stash on Rondale Moore, wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. Zach Ertz, also another player who could be out in week one. We'll see. Moore himself dealing with something undisclosed. That being said, there's been a lot of buzz about him as a breakout candidate. Mike just mentioned the pedigree of Christian Watson, Rondale Moore, a second round pick just a year ago. The utilization was funky, right? He was basically like a running back last season. Mm-hmm. In fantasy, if that turns into Deontay Johnson style, 10 targets that go a total of 12 air yards, I do not care. So give me Rondale Moore as a stash.
Yeah, I like Rondale Moore, especially DFS.
I was going to say, week one, he's definitely one of the best values on the board if he plays. So to your point, we have to keep an eye on his injury status leading up to the games.
He's electric.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, he is dynamic as all get out with the ball in his hand. So I would love to see a much bigger role for him this year.
Me too. All right, Eric, we're going to come back with you in just 1 second, talk about the waiver wire. But first, we got to pay some bills because you have a very large salary. All right. Our friends over at DraftKings say, football fans, the first Sunday of the NFL season is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL season. And right now, customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. And as an added bonus for week one, everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings early win promotion. It's simple. Bet on an NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 at any point in the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code FFF and get $200 in free bets instantly. When you place a $5 bet this Sunday, that's code FFF only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Bonus issued as free bets. One early win token issued at opt-in. Moneyline bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Fantasy football season is here, and that means more of what you love. The teams, the rivalries, the stats, trash-talking Mike Clay. And this season, you know your favorite players are hydrating with Body Armor Sports Drink on and off the field. And hey, this fall is a great time to up your game, too. Maybe you're hitting the gym again or just looking to stay fit. Whatever your workout routine, you're going to need to stay hydrated, and Body Armor has got you covered. Made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, and coconut water. It's a great time to grab some Body Armor sports drink for yourself. Everybody is focused on staying active and healthy, and hydration is an important part of that. Body Armor sports drink, more than a sports drink. Now through November 1st, buy any one Body Armor product at your local convenience store and scan the QR code in-store to enter to be one of the hundreds of winners to receive $100 in DraftKings prizing. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited, open to residents of U.S. 21 and older.
All right, back with the waiver wire segment. Eric Moody going to be holding it down every single week for us here. And Eric, I'm going to tee this right up first off with when you're doing waivers. Okay. I feel like there are two main ways that people or leagues approach the waiver system, and that is either by using FAB or by using waivers. I just want you to give a quick breakdown to the listeners so that they understand how both of those work depending on the league type they're in.
No, sounds good, Dob. I'll try to be as brief as possible. So let's talk about FAB. So it's really all about positional spending. I couldn't get that out. I'm acting like
it's contagious.
So you got to have percentages for when you're targeting these players. You don't want to waste your money. So when I'm looking at quarterbacks, like, you know, if I'm looking at like a top five waiver wire target, you know, I would end up spending about anywhere up to 5 to 10% on quarterback, about 15 to 20% on running backs, and wide receivers about 15 to 20%, and then at tight end, you know, about 5 to 10. Now, if you're targeting like the number one weekly waiver wire target, like the top dog week in and week out, then you can raise those percentages a bit. So I would say a quarterback, you know, about 20 to 25%, running back about 30 to 35%, wide receiver about 25 to 30%, and then tight end at about 10. Now here's the rationale, because I'm sure people are wondering, like, what's the rationale behind those percentages? Running backs are usually going to be the most expensive, and quarterbacks and tight ends aren't going to be that expensive. It really comes down to economics, you know, supply and demand. Like the ratio of productive fantasy running backs and wide receivers to starting spots that must be filled is obviously going to be smaller than at quarterback and tight end. Injuries, you know, running backs are going to get injured a lot more. And when you look at quarterbacks and tight ends on the waiver wire, they do require like a smaller outlay because they're what I would call like a onesie position. Unless you're playing in like super flex or two quarterbacks, you can only start one at a time. And each of those positions are typically going to have a bigger pool of usable free agents. Now, you have some folks that obviously stream quarterback and tight end. But for quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends in general, you're looking for talent and opportunity. Now, I would say talent really isn't as important at running back. You're really looking for more so with opportunity and touches. That's what's king. And so because of that, waiver wire running backs are going to be expensive, so plan accordingly. I think budgeting is really important when it comes to FAB. Yeah. You know, I'll go ahead and say that. So if you have players on your team that get hurt, you may have to spend more. Unless you have bad luck with injuries, you should let the situation that you're in dictate your spending. So
and just
spend
to
aggressively
be...
early on.
Sorry, yeah, Moody, go ahead. Nope, we'll keep going. Sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. Oh, no, you're good.
I would say wires crossed. Keep going. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah, no worries. And so I'd say if you got bad luck with injuries, just let the situation just dictate your spending. Like if you want to spend aggressively early on, if you're off to a bad start, if you're like, hey, I don't have a fantasy team that's built to win, you know, spend early. On the other hand, just be thrifty with your fab money. Mm. You want to have that advantage later in the season to spend more than others at the end of the season to get the guys that you want. And I'll kind of close fab out with this comment, and I don't have really much to cover on the standard waiver wire priority system. You'll get what I mean here in a minute with that. But with fab, like, I'm not that big on going all in on a player. I know a lot of people talk about that. Hey, I want to go all in on this guy, and he's going to help me win my league. It could happen, but what if it doesn't? Then you're left with all your fab exhausted. And you really don't want to do that unless you're completely eliminated from playoff contention. So to close the loop on that, if you're looking at like a standard waiver wire priority system, I think the most important tip is really just don't waste your waiver wire priority. You need to take advantage of having that first priority when you need it most. And so I'll take a breath and I'm going to pass it over to Field.
Yeah, first of all, Moody, just for those that are sitting there saying like, I love all this fab insight, but what's fab? Fab is free agent acquisition budget, which means that you have a certain amount that every player at the beginning of the season starts out with, and it's a blind bidding process. Usually it's $100. So let's say after week one, Mitch Trubisky outscores Tom Brady by 30 points, and Mike wants to make a bid on Mitch Trubisky. He can offer up $12 of his 100, or he can offer up 100 of his 100, or zero. Let's say I also want to prioritize Mitch Trubisky, and Mike bids 12, and I bid 8. Even if I lost week one and Mike won week one, Mike will win Mitch Trubisky in this circumstance. So for those that are wondering what fab is, it's just a way to kind of make things a little bit spicier and different on the waiver wire budget. Second thing here, Moody, is that you are now writing the waiver wire column, which I've had the honor of writing for about 5 or 6 years now, and you told me you'd be sending that Andre Johnson signed photo over your left shoulder. It's still behind you on your setup. Do you care to set the record straight on that?
Oh, I love how he laid that in there. Then he's got it, like, you know, publicly documented on the podcast. Very, very savvy there, Mr. Yates. I'll see what I can do. Doc, can I try to get, like, a duplicate photo? Like,
yeah,
on Amazon?
I'll see what I can work out from
there. Okay. We can do that.
I'll sign it myself.
Daniel's pretty good at, like, of mimicking signatures. So just last thing here, just to give people a couple more format updates, is just like a regular waiver wire is that each week the team that has the worst record or scored the fewest points in week one has first priority. They get to pick a player, and then they move. And then again, if I have the worst record and Daniel has a second worst record and Mike has a third worst record, if we all go for the same player, I get that player. Mm-hmm. If I don't, but Mike and Daniel do, Daniel gets them. And the thing that Eric Moody was referencing is some leagues, you get to hold your priority. So if you don't use your waiver wire priority, you get to keep it.
Yep.
So after week one, if you're like, I have first priority and that's sweet, but there was nobody that unexpectedly broke out, then I can just hold it for a future week in case a much more meaningful waiver claim comes about. But let's get back to you, Mr. Moody, as of course you are the man that we write in that column every single week. And sometimes there's a case to be said that are made that you could have a week one waiver wire column. So are there some players that come to mind for you that are not rostered on nearly enough leagues right now?
Yeah, and it kind of pains me to say this name because there's a lot of hype for this player, like quarterback like Justin Fields. Like, he's available in over half of our ESPN leagues, and though even though Fields only has two legitimate receiving playmakers in Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet, his dual threat ability is highly coveted by fantasy managers, and I think he'll eventually have some huge fantasy weeks. So I know Justin Fields, like, as a quarterback. I got three more I'll touch on briefly, like with running back. Looking at, like, Khalil Herbert, you know, he's out there. I'm stick with the Bears, available in 76.6% of ESPN leagues. And so if Monty, you know, David Montgomery, I call him Monty, so excuse me if everyone's like, who's Monty? You know, if he misses a significant amount of time, I'm like, Herbert, you know, could even earn more touches in this backfield. It really just comes down to that the coaching staff feel like, okay, Herbert may be a better fit with this running scheme than Monty. But when Monty was out last season, it was three games where Herbert averaged 15.4 fantasy points per game while playing 83% of the snaps. Now, Wandale Robinson's another name. Just a lot of uncertainty with those Giants receivers. Like last season, the Giants starting receivers missed a combined 21 games. And so you look at Robinson, a lot of buzz in training camp in the preseason, could be their version of Deebo Samuel. So that's something fantasy managers should keep in mind. I'll close the loop with the tight end, pass it back to the crew. Tight end like Hayden Hurst. I mean, he's someone that's available in like 81.2% of ESPN leagues.
Right.
And I think Hurst is going to be used like all over the field for the Bengals this season. He does have the ability to threaten defenses underneath, reverse vertically. And I just think he's someone that's being overlooked in drafts, and I could see why. You know, you've got T. Higgins, you got Tyler Boyd, and of course, Ja'Marr Chase that's there, but he's someone that could get a lot more targets than people think. And so if you need a tight end streamer, look no further than Hayden Hurst.
Yeah, I like Hurst. I talked about him on our Fantasy Football Now special on Sunday. So definitely a sneaky name, right? He had one season where he was a clear starter for a team in Atlanta, and he was tight end 10, right? He was pretty good. Useful. He was a good athlete. He was a first-round pick. He just was blocked by Mark Andrews and then had a good year and then was blocked by Kyle Pitts last season. So I like him. And by the way, one general note on the – you guys did a great job laying out what waiver wire is, right? Whether with Fab or whichever way you want to go with that. We should probably point out for those wondering, like, Fab is our preference, right? Like, I know Eric said that Fab by far is the best in my mind. You know, it's just regular waiver wire is a little simpler, right? You just place the bids. You don't have to worry about the money. You don't have to think about it. So if you're maybe new to fantasy, maybe you want to go with that direction since it's a little easier. But Fab is the one that takes a little bit, you know, a little bit more skill, a little bit more strategy. And definitely the preferred format because guess what? Much like a salary cap draft, like, you want your guy? You can get your guy. You know, you want if you want Mitch Trubisky field, but you know you want a Moody Quinn, put $100 in there, 100% he's yours.
I don't always spend responsibly, so sometimes not playing in a Fab league is kind of sweet too.
I gotta from that standpoint, Moody, you mentioned a couple people that I really like. We've talked about Justin Fields here. Like Justin Fields quite a bit from the quarterback position. I think that he definitely deserves to be rostered. 10 team leagues makes it tough though, because you're gonna have these guys in a 10 team ESPN league where Justin Fields might not be out there, so I'm watching him off the waiver wire to see how is he performing in week one, how is he performing in week two before I decide to go out and grab him.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, on quarterbacks, I'm not sure you need to roster two in a 10-team league at the outset.
Correct.
And maybe in any other thing, anything that's not a keeper or dynasty league, I'm okay with only rostering one quarterback or one tight end. And just generally speaking, if I'm looking at players that are week one waiver targets, it's either because there's an injury to a very well-known role that you know who would step in and take that player's spot. Like, maybe there's a world in which Mike Davis is one of two healthy running backs for the Ravens this week. We'll see. Moreover, I'm looking for players that just have a lot of upside. Like Eric Moody pointed out, like Wandale Robinson, Nico Collins, guys that we know the talent is there. We just don't know if the role's there.
This may be an argument, but I feel like I am just out on Wandale Robinson. I don't know how many other 5'8", 170-pound wide receivers that are being compared to Deebo Samuel. And it's not a you, Moody, thing. Like, I've heard other people say this as well. Like, it feels like I'm being set up for Antonio Gibson as CMC light all over again. Huh. I would love to be able to know, Eric, like, why is Wandale Robinson, with everything going on in that Giants pass-catching room, I understand he was drafted high, but he doesn't fit that body or that what seems like the mold for what a top-tier wide receiver would be.
Yeah, it's. I think if you look at him physically, I'm like, I could see someone thinking that, but it's just when he has the ball like in his hands, it really comes down to how those players can take like contact, whether they're looking to initiate contact or they can protect themselves when they hit the ground. And I just think it's really like a war of attrition, Dop. It's just, I'm like, the Giants, 21 missed games with their starting wide receivers. Kenny Golladay is being compared to a mannequin. It's like someone has to catch the football, right?
Yeah.
And so just with that opportunity and target share, that's what makes him really attractive to me, just with stashing off of waivers right
and
now.
And I hear where Daniel is saying, like, you know, we don't want to overdo this. But again, this is also like a week one waiver target, right? Like,
sure.
Antonio Gibson was going in first round of drafts last year.
Oh, totally.
So I think it's fine. There's very few players that in week one is a waiver wire target. If they're drafted in the first two rounds over the past 2 years of the real NFL draft, there are very few guys that I'm like, nope, I'm out entirely on.
Yeah, and these were some of the knocks on Rondale Moore, who we just talked about. He's also very small, and we were just talking positively about him. And you've seen that even Kadarius Toney, to some extent, like, he flashed some serious volume last year. And again, he was a guy no one wanted in rookie drafts because they're like, hey, he's just going to be a gadget guy. It's never going to happen. You know, it didn't look like that last year, right? So, look, you don't take a receiver in round two to be a return specialist or just a gadget guy. And even in this, like, 21st century now NFL offense, you know, you look at Deebo Samuel and how he was used last year, and that was very effective from a fantasy standpoint. So, you know, the game's always evolving. There's more receivers on the field. There's more gadget players on the field, and they're suddenly becoming fantasy relevant. So, again, late in your draft, no problem with it for sure.
I hear that you don't draft a guy that early in the second to just have him be a gadget guy, but I've watched teams do a lot of what I think are really silly things in the draft, so I don't really want to put it.
Fair, but, I mean, that's not the goal.
Again,
anyway,
the process versus the result are different, right? Like, you shouldn't be drafting a guy in the top two rounds, and the Giants not envision that being their career path for Wan'Dale Robinson.
Week one, assuming you don't just have an open roster spot, and I'm going to go around and we'll close out this waiver wire conversation, Eric Moody. If you had someone that you drafted, you moved him to an IR slot, and you could pick up any one of these guys for week one just because you like the upside, the potential, what they could be for you over the next couple weeks. Eric, is there one person in this list that we have in front of us that you like the most?
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to go against the grain here. I'll say one name that I do like is Tyler Allgeier. I think he's in an eerily similar situation to like Damian Pierce, for where his competition that he's going against, I'm like, he can easily leapfrog them. And I just think about what he was able to do, like, over the last two seasons, like with the Cougars. I'm like, he ran for 2,731 yards and 36 touchdowns. I'm like, the opportunity is there for the taking in Atlanta. I just feel like someone like Allgeier, as the season progresses, could be that guy in a potential fantasy league winner. So if you have the space, I'd stash him.
Yeah, so I'll throw a name in here too. I'll go Nico Collins.
I like Nico.
Yeah, I mean, again, year two, day two pick last year, right, as an opportunity to play on the perimeter of the season as a vertical target in this Houston offense. We hope will be a little bit better. I'm still a little worried about the offense as a whole and the scoring opportunity. So I'll throw him out there as a, again, late round flyer.
I'm going to look at Isaiah McKenzie, wide receiver three.
Yep.
Wide receiver three in Buffalo. Uh-huh. So anything happens, he's going to be heavily involved in that offense. And by the way, Josh Allen under center, you can never go wrong with having a guy like that as your quarterback.
I think my biggest regret of the offseason was in Scott Fishbowl. I had an Atlanta stack, a Buffalo stack. I have Josh Allen, and I have Gabriel Davis. I think I might have won James Cook, I think I took. The last pick, the last round, I was spacing. Those drafts take a long time, right? I was almost forgetting who I had, and I took Valus Jones from Chicago, which is fine as a late flyer, but McKenzie was there. Like, they even thought about it, and I didn't take him. I was still thinking Crowder would be the three at that point months ago.
First the Joe Burrow stat, and now the Isaiah McKenzie omission. I'll go Mitch Trubisky is my pick.
Stop it.
No, I will go with another Isaiah Pacheco. A lot of strong preseason buzz out of Kansas City for him.
Like him.
I know that sometimes those things end up being worth their weight in paper, but running back, a valuable spot, and I'm not all in on CEH this year like others might be.
We like Isaiah's, right? Likely too. He's on the short list. Yeah. If you're looking to add some waiver guys or throw some, you know, fab out there and waivers haven't cleared yet, just search Isaiah. Like, basically you'll just get a list of the top guys.
That's right.
Great stuff, Moody.
That's going to do it for Eric Moody. Follow him at Eric N. Moody. He will be back every single Tuesday as a part of our waiver wire. Make sure that you follow him and check out that waiver wire article. Eric, we'll see you next week, buddy.
See you, buddy.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, and with that, that's going to almost do it out for the show. Real quick to know, Stefan is going to be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about a bunch of injury updates. We're going to take a look at all the teams that we asked you guys to send in over the draft day weekend as well. Mm-hmm. Take a look at our favorite teams. But
let's go.
It is now time for the definitive Luke Combs interview. And now joining Fantasy Focus, it is international recording superstar Luke Combs. Luke, thank you so much for joining the show, man. Appreciate you coming on with us.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Where is it that you're at right now in the world? Like, what are you doing as somebody that is on tour with seemingly all the time? Where are you currently at right now?
I am in a suite box in Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte at the moment.
In Charlotte?
That's where I'm at. Yes.
Okay.
That's where I'm at right now.
All right. That's a lot better than where we're at here. I heard a story. Tell me if this is true. I heard a story last night or a couple days ago that you were in Bangor, Maine, had a show, and you gave a couple of tickets to a few kids that were there. Is that true? Can you tell me a little bit about this story?
It was, yeah, they had a sign that said, you know, we stacked five cords of wood, you know, to get $100 for our tickets kind of thing. And they made it like fit into one of my songs, you know. And so I just read the sign, and I usually never have money in my pocket on stage. But for whatever reason that day, I did feel inclined to like take it for whatever reason on stage. Not sure why. But yeah, I saw the kids and just figured I'd pay them back for their tickets, you know, because they were like, I mean, couldn't have been 12, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. And so it was pretty neat to see that, you know. So yeah, I just gave them the money, and that was it, man. Just easy to do, man. Being nice. I think it's a lot easier
100%.
Then people make it, you know?
Absolutely. Just about putting good in the world. When I read that, I was so excited. I was pumped, you know, understanding that that's what it's all about. You know how easy it is to be nice to people, which is fantastic.
And, really easy, dude. Yeah.
While music has never broken my heart, beer's never broken my heart, fantasy has absolutely broken my heart. Luke, I want to ask you, as a fantasy player or even just as a sports fan, have you ever had your heart broken by a specific moment, and is there one that you remember?
Oh, goodness, man. I mean, I was a back-to-back league loser there a couple years ago, which was tough.
Ooh, yikes.
Going on one league, this will be our 10th year. Which is actually what we're doing here. We're doing our fantasy draft in the Panther Stadium today, live, in person. It's all my buddies from high school.
Oh, I love that.
Miller Lite's helping us do that, kind of a dream trip sort of thing. So pretty neat, man. But as far as heartbreaks go, man, I've also come in second place a few times in this particular league, so that's probably worse. I think I'd rather lose the whole league almost than come in second place.
I think I am totally with you. I would rather just be out of it rather than be like in it right at the very end and have that heartbreak from that standpoint. All right, so if you got your draft coming up, and big shout out to Miller Lite because we love them here too.
Yeah.
Who is it that you're looking at? Do you have any questions about fantasy this year? Let us help you set you up so that you can beat these guys that took you down last year, Luke.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's definitely a tough league, especially being all of our buddies from high school. You know, I think the toughest thing for me is it's, you know, we've added two guys this year. So we're going up to a 12 man league this year. I was actually in a 14 person league last year, which was,
that's deep,
chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos. Yeah. So I think more it's like trying to figure out, I've always struggled with I feel like early, like years ago, I was always the guy that like took the tight end too early.
Sure.
You know, everyone was like, oh, boo, I can't believe you started taking the tight end. You kind of like ruin the draft. There's always that guy that kind of ruins the draft.
No.
Taking a quarterback before everybody else does. And I don't know. I'm more of a I'm a stack running backs guy, man.
All right. Hey, really. Early on, especially in a 12-team league, 12 teams get so deep because of the fact that those last couple rounds, you lose a lot of people within that player pool. So a couple quick suggestions. Running like those big running backs that you love, grab them early. Don't be afraid to grab them early. Yeah. Wide receiver is super deep, as you know. Like, it is just such a passing league. Quarterback, you can wait on. You don't have to grab one of those early guys. Yeah. Wait until the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th round. You don't need to go early with a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes. And I'm with you on this tight end strategy. Grab one of those tight ends early, man. There's positional scarcity there. For real.
Yeah, there definitely is. So. I mean, I think, you know, getting a guy like Mark Andrews, sneaking him up.
Uh-huh.
Kelsey.
Yep, there's nothing. Like, you grab those guys, those superstars at their position, the gap between them and the guys that are at 8, 9, and 10 is so much bigger than the gap between the running backs and the wide receivers and the quarterbacks in that same area. So I'm all in, man. It sounds like you know what you're doing as far as tight ends go. It's just we got to make sure the rest of it, you're good to go, bud.
Yeah, I'm actually in a league in my tour as well, and we did our draft 2-3 days ago on the road, and when we were in Maine, actually, and it was interesting. Cooper Kupp went first.
Oh, wow.
Which was pretty wild. I'd never seen that before. Never seen a wide receiver go first. But justified, I think, maybe.
Oh,
it wasn't
me.
I didn't think. But I actually ended up grabbing McCaffrey at 8. He fell to 8.
Oh, my gosh. Luke. Yeah, that's amazing value. That's incredible for you to get him there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, I just, you can't not pick him at 8.
No, you have to take him at 8. Are you playing? Is this a league full of children? Is it a children's league that you're in, or is this other people Okay, is that what it is? Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, small, very like small brained
child
on the tour.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, guy that took Aaron Rodgers before McCaffrey. So that was
what?
No, yeah, it's that kind of league. So I lose, I'll be super embarrassed for sure.
I love it. That is fantastic. Dude, thank you so much for joining us. I love being able to have other musicians, people that just also just love each other, love other people and put positivity and genuine goodness into the world.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for joining us. Tell people, you just had a record come out in June, but please tell people about it, where they can find you, what tours are coming up, a couple of quick things for our listeners to make sure they can follow along with you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We're out on the Middle of Somewhere tour right now. All those dates are sold out, which is great for me and for the fans. But hopefully we'll be having some good news come out here soon about some more shows. And I got a new album out called Growing Up. So y'all check it out, man. If you like country music, check it out. If you don't, check it out. Yeah, man, that's it. You know,
I mean, you just check it out. Whether you like country music, or you don't like you like country music. I say you check it out. Give it a shot. You know what I'm saying?
Check it out. Give it a shot.
I like it. Luke, thank you so much for joining us, buddy. We'll be in touch. Thank you, bud.
Yes, sir. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate, 'cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host, and everybody knows his name. He's Field Yates.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.